This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down.
Roger that.
Welcome to Trappin' Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. God, family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trappin' Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trappin' Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do trap supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got it. Blue Ridge Outdoor Supplies. Scott Payne is the owner of this business. He's in Elkton, Virginia. He also has a lure line, Mountain Rebel Lures and Baits. He's got a great coyote trapping video. He's also a fur buyer in Virginia. Anything that you're looking for and your trapping needs, give Scott a call and he'll get it right out to you. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're an ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company, have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you.
Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it. Fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light. Sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to dig. Shotgun toter, Republican voter, Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA, cause this is what I say.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got...
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Clint Locklear. We're going to talk about the portable pocket and what that means and the systems and all that type stuff. And before we get into the portable pockets, kind of what's going on in my world, I'm getting ready to head to Texas. So if you're planning on calling me to ask a question, it's not going to happen. If you're going to send an email for me to answer, it's not going to happen until I get back. And if there's 4,000 emails in there, most of them will get dumped. I'm just telling you that right now. There's no way that I can keep up with all that stuff. So if you have something you want to ask me, you know, you need to wait till about April. Because it's going to be real short on any time I've got in Texas to do stuff like that. And I just can't physically do that, especially with the phone. Now, if you need to call about an order or order something, we have the online store. My wife will still be packing orders, but it won't be if you have a traffic question, she's not going to be able to help you. So just keep that in mind. I mean, I've been packing, you know, I've been asked, how many traps do you carry when you go to Texas? Well, foothold wise, 110 gallons and a big brown tote. That's just traps and drags. 51 dozen snares, snare supports, two great big garbage bags of cat flags, a big black tub full of bait and lures, all that type stuff. That's what it takes when you go out of a state if you're going to do any really volume of stuff a lot of times. I've been going down there for a while, so I've streamlined some stuff, but the portable pockets are going to be added into it this year, along with the new Freedom Brand FB2 dog proof traps I'm going to be playing with down there, because those are some really big coon, and I'm gonna stake them to something solid. Some will be on drags. I will let everybody know how that trap is doing. Now, as far as the radio show, guys, this is just the world we live in, and there's no way I can get around it. I'm gonna try my best to do radio shows while I'm down there. I'm sure they're gonna be shorter than normal, and the reason for that is because of the way the internet system is set up down there. I don't think a full show the computer or the server will time out before I get one up. So there won't be any music coming into it. There probably won't be any photographs because I'm not going to have my big camera there or my big computer there and all the stuff that I normally use. It's going to be pretty basic. It'll be pretty crude. If I can pull that off, and they will just start with me talking and end with me talking, and it'll be on a subject. So just letting you know where the radio show's going for probably about the next month or more. And then when I get back, we'll be able to crank it back up and it'll be just like normal. But that's part of actually going out and be a professional trapper. Sometimes you can't spend as much time on the computer because we're going down there. Now, our school is going to be going on the first 2 weeks we're going down there. I'm really fired up. We've got some very unique people coming down. Matthew Beach will be coming back over from Australia. So I'll try to interview him while I'm down there. And I'm thinking on some of the shows while I'm down there is it's really neat when you're in a situation where you trap 7 days a week, you know, daylight till dark every day, day after day after day, your brain just hits a different gear. You look at things different. You process information different. What's important changes, all that type stuff. So I'm probably going to be doing a lot of radio shows down there, like when I'm, you know, like towards the end of the day or whatever. If I can find a shade tree or something, pull up under. And what I've learned for that day or that week or what I've noticed or what I'm seeing is going on, different things like that, because I'll be in that mindset of, you know, not in the normal life type thing that you have to deal with when I'm trapping around home, because I've got orders and computer stuff and, you know, everything in life that everybody else deals with you still have. But when you get in that situation, because you're so isolated from the normalcy, you just almost get back to primitive way of thinking. And I think it's a great way to be when you're doing some of these shows and things like that, because you just see things different. So that's what's going to be going on for the next month. I hope I can get these shows up. It's going to be a pain in the wazoo, I can tell you, because I've got to go somewhere and sit while all this stuff uploads. And the way I do it now is I can start something uploading or rendering and then go about my business and come back. But I won't be able to do that down there. So it may not be a four shows, maybe two, maybe one, maybe none. Heck, I don't know. It'll just be what it'll be, and then we'll get back to normal business when I get back. Now, I want to talk tonight about portable pockets. And just to let you know my true feelings. If I could sing, I'd sing feelings right now. But if my true feelings on the portable pocket, and when I was thinking about this, I can only think of one song to truly get the point across. So this will let you know how I'm grooving on these things. Now, for you young guys out there that don't know who Mr. Barry White is, or why someone that's my age of being 45 come this Sunday, why you don't understand what that is exactly, that's kind of like the old joke of, you know, when you're gonna try to put the moves on the girl, get the Barry White music going in the background just because it helps you get your groove on. And that is, every time I think about, when I think about doing this show, that's all I could think about it. Because when I started really using these things, I'm talking about really using them and seeing the full systematic way that they can be put into use. I mean, it's as close to trapping porn as you can get, because it's almost too good to be true. It's like the, you know, when you see people on TV and they look perfect. I mean, that's the way this thing's coming across, and that's part of the reason I think about, you know, the Barry White thing when it's going on, just because it is such a neat system the more and more I play with them. Now, let's talk a little bit about systems before I get into the portable pocket. And I'm going to use an example of a kill pole. Now, kill pole is one of those things that has never really taken off by the mainstream in trapping, and I don't know why. I really don't know why, because it is such a fast system, and it's a true system. A lot of people talk about their system of trapping. You know, you put in some dirt holes, you put in some flat sets, you do this. That's not what I'm talking about, systems. Systems is an integrated platform of some kind that you can go in, and it has several advantages. And when I'm thinking of a trapping system, I'm always thinking of speed. I've got to take into account size and weight. I've got to take into account the energy used to use it. Can I stack functions like hold bait, hold a snare? Is it also the staking system? Is it the support wire? Is it visual? Is it easy to hide? All these things are stacking on one product or one idea or one concept. And that's what when I'm referring to systems, that's kind of what I'm thinking about. It's like a kill pole. Now, kill pole, if you're new to trapping, you're not going to really see much about this on trapping forums or modern books or anything like that. A kill pole was developed by Ron Hansen probably in the 70s or the early 80s. And it's basically, if you can imagine, and he started for raccoons, so we'll start there, a 3-foot or 4-foot piece of 1/2-inch rebar. And on the very top of that, you weld a little horseshoe, kind of like you were going to put a handle for a barn or something. So you're going to weld your number 9 wire, and it's going to come off on a horseshoe shape. So you can run something between that and the pole itself, and then you wrap the number 9 wire around 3 or 4 times to give it some springiness, and you've got a piece of number 9 wire that sticks off from your kill pole, you know, 18 inches, 2 feet, something like that. Now, what Ron Hansen did is he built a system, and the system is the pole is the staking system. The pole is the snare tie off, and the pole is also the support system for the snare. So you go up to a trail, and you can push it in with your hands, or you can beat it in with a hammer, depending on how your ground is. And no matter what is around you, if you've got a trail there, you can snare it. And you go up, you push it in, you hook your snare around the pole and through that little U on the side, so it can't come up off the top or down on the bottom. And then you take your whammy at that time, what they were using, or plastic collar is what a lot of guys are using now, and you and that's what's supporting your snare. That you take that number nine wire and you just kind of bend it in place. So, you know, like, how would I use this? How would I make this part of my normal trapping? Well, I'm boat trapping and I'm beaver trapping, and on my 18-foot John boat, I can line up on a beaver slide, for example, get close to the bank, kill the motor, walk up to the front of the boat, and as soon as the boat hits the bank, I've got a big D-ring on the front of my John boat. And then on the front of the boat, I always keep about a 4.5-foot T-bar made out of half-inch rod. So as soon as my boat touches it, I push the T-bar down through the D-ring, and my boat is now secured to the bank. So I don't have to get out of the boat. And then if I'm beaver snaring, I'll have a bucket full of snares. And the snares for a keel pole, if you've never seen them, are pretty short. You got the opening size of a loop, say on a beaver of 9 to 10 inches. You may have 2-foot pigtail. So they're short, they're easy to unwind. I've got a bucket of those, and I've got a pile of these keel bars or keel poles. Now I'm using fiberglass, so they're lighter for beaver, bobcats, fox, coon, different things like that. So now they don't even weigh very much. So I've got these two things. One's on the keel poles on my left-hand side, the bucket of snares on the right-hand side. Automatically grab a snare because I'm secured to the bank. I'm not having to do anything. I don't have to get out of the boat. I undo that snare real quick. I grab a keel pole. I run the snare around the top through that horseshoe. I set the whammy to give me a good 9-inch loop or so for beaver. I can lean over the front of the boat most of the time around water. I can push it in, adjust it where it's just the way I want it, and then I can pull my T-bar out of the D-ring and push off. That is, you're talking about speed. Literally, if you had a boat line that you came across 200 beaver slides a day, you could set them with a system and not have to use that much energy. Most people get out of the boat, they go tie their boat off, or they do something, but then they sit around and they piddle, and they got to go with snares especially. I tell you what, a snaring system that is not very efficient that most people use. You've got a snare, and you're planning on tying it off. Well, without the system part of the keel pole, I've got to now adjust where I'm going to put this snare depending on what's around it so I can tie it off. Or I've got to have a stake, so now I'm just dealing with either rebar stakes or disposable stakes and a hammer and a driver. And then I got to pull those when I come back. Then how are you going to support the snare? Well, a lot of guys, still old school, nothing wrong with that. It's just not very efficient. So they use a stick, and they take a little piece of wire, and they make an inverted S or W's or whatever they're going to do. They push the stick in the ground, praying it's not hard ground, praying they didn't grab a stick that's about half rotten and is going to break when they put pressure on it, praying when they tighten off the wire that it don't snap the end of it off. But they get that eventually next to there. They're going to run their snare up on their, however they're doing it with their W's or whatever. If there's nothing to tie off to, they're going to go back in the boat. They're going to take out an extension cable, hook it with an S hook or something like that, go find a tree or bush, or go in back to the boat and get a stake. And now you've got the same thing. But with the system of the keel pole, I could pull up and then literally in about 5 to 10 seconds put in a beaver snare that's extremely functional. It's everything's just the way it's supposed to be, and I can be pulling my T-bar off my boat and pushing back out in the water to go find the next victim. That's a system. And if you're, we've been talking a little bit about business. If you want to have something to do on a DVD or a book, let me tell you the best way in our times today that you're going to make any money doing that. You need to have systems. If you can teach a trapper a system like a keel pole, even though that particular system's been around for 50 years, but if you were to come up with a system on whatever it is that you're doing, that everything starts getting integrated into one or two pieces of equipment. You take the energy out of it. You take the time away from it. You can stack functions on it. and then you can teach that to trappers. That's what you need to be coming, taking the time to figuring out. That's what will get you DVD sales. Stuff like that is what nowadays people want, because they've seen how everybody makes a dirt hole. They've seen how everybody makes a flat set. They've seen how everybody digs a pocket. But what people are looking for are systems. So if you, no matter what type of trapping you're doing, if you come up with a true system where you can start stacking functions, get the energy level way down, and speed somebody up at the same time, and get it to where when they're this knuckle dragging tired, they can still work that system because it's that simple, like a kill pole, you'll have something. But those systems are what's so important. Now, why am I calling the portable pocket a system? Well, let me go into the history of how I got my hands on these things first. About 5 or 6 years ago, Anthony from Ohio, a lot of y'all know him as LT Gray, like on Trapper Man and other trapping forums. I think he was at the Ohio convention, if I remember right, and he showed me, and he gave me a couple of them, of these portable pockets. And I don't remember if that's what he was calling them or not, but because I know Norm's going to go into manufacturing, so I wanted to make sure. So I PM'd him on Facebook, and I said, dude, you know, Norm would like to build these. Do you have any problem? He said, no, knock yourself out. So, well, what were you calling them? He said, portable pockets. And no matter what I tried to come up with, I kept going back to portable pockets. So we're going to call this system a portable pocket. I didn't come up with a system. I don't know how far LT took this system. I know from what he showed me, he was using them on raccoons. Now keep in mind, if you're new to trapping, there was a day when you didn't have dog-proof traps. There was a day that if you wanted to catch a coon on dry land, you could snare them. A lot of states you couldn't use conibears, so you're putting in dirt holes. So keep that in mind if you're new to trapping. If you're my age or older, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The ease of a dog-proof trap today was not around back in the 80s when he was using this. So if he came up with it or he got this idea from somebody else, I'm not sure, but that's where my history of it comes from, LT. Well, he brought this to a convention, we're talking, and he showed this thing to me, and I'm looking at it, and it didn't register exactly what it was that he gave me. And there's a lot of things in our trapping history that at a particular time, even though it's an ingenious idea, it just doesn't stick. And it didn't really stick to me. Now, I took these home, and I kind of used them more for coon. I'd stick them out on creeks and on the river out of the boat where you had sandbars and coon tracks. And, you know, I'd put the trap between the portable pocket and the bank, and I was catching coon that way, caught a few beaver that way from memory. I remember I caught a gray fox. I had some coyotes that didn't get caught, but they played around with several of them. Ended up snapping the traps off. But it just didn't click to me at that time of what this was, or the full aspect of it the way that I'm seeing it now. Now, the way LT showed me is he had a really neat 1.5 Victor coil spring he was using on coon, and he actually welded a plate on the bottom of that trap. So it would set almost like a long spring. I mean, you could set it on a table with it set, and it would be pretty rock solid just the way it was. I mean, he had come up with a system for catching raccoons on dry land fast. So what he was doing is he was, I'm assuming, you know, on the edge of a field, on a corner of a field, or a road, or a coon trail, or the next to the water, something like that. He would take his portable pocket, and he would set it up using a dry land trap with a trap in front of it, and he was talking about beating in his beds and using grass and leaves and stuff over it, because the animal's not going to be digging around in the ground because you've got him off of the ground. He's putting bait in the pocket, and he's catching coon. Yeah, absolutely you'll catch coon that way. Absolutely you will. So that's kind of the history of how I got a hold of this thing and started using them, because I've talked about them on a earlier podcast. But the more that I'm using them, the more that I'm going out and trying them in different ways, All, I mean, just going across the top of the tree limbs with the leaves and the wind, Barry White is just letting her fly. Because it is, the system part of this is fascinating and it's deadly. And deadly is good. So what is a portable pocket? Well, it's a very, like, it's a very simple thing, just like a kill pole. Kill pole's a piece of rebar with number 9 wire welded on it twice and bent around. This is, now LT's, if I remember right, and knowing how anal retentive he is on every little detail, his probably had points ground on the edges. I mean, on the very top. So he had a rod that's probably 30 inches long, might have been 28, might have been 32. I didn't measure them. And it's half inch smooth rod, or could have been 7/16, but it's right around in there. So it's just to say a 30 inch piece of rod. And then on the top of that, you need another piece, and it's a pipe. So you go find some thin wall pipe, which once we started building these, I'm amazed how expensive that is. But you're going to cut that in, say, 5 inches sections. And you're going to drill a hole towards the back of those 5-inch sections. And you're going to set that down so it's perpendicular to the rod. So if you're going to, if you think back to the old rebar stakes, you beat the stake into the ground and it's sticking straight in the ground. Now your washer is running perpendicular, so it would actually sit on top of the ground. That's what this pipe's doing. So you got your pipe, and you got two holes drilled towards the back of it, and you slide that down on the rod, and you weld the top and the bottom. And you need to leave a good 3/8 inch or something pipe sticking out the top, because it will mushroom out on you, and eventually it'll break that weld if you don't give it that room. So you have a piece of pipe that's running perpendicular, just like you lay a piece of PVC on the ground. And on the back of that, it looked like what LT did is he had somebody that had a hydraulic press or something, and they squished the back of this pipe together. Now, the way Norm's building them, since he doesn't have a press, he's putting a washer on the back of it. And that washer, in having an open space, it becomes very important here in a little bit. But he's putting this washer on there, and what that's doing, it's making it where it's way easier for an animal to work it from the front than the back. So if your trap's in the biggest part of the pipe in the front, say a 2-2.5 inch pipe, the animal thinks he can get that stuff out of there. He's got to spend a lot of time. So a simple way to see how this would work, because everybody remembers how Armstrong back in the late 70s started using PVC and catching numbers of coon that people just had a hard time grasping. And what he was doing is he was sticking this PVC into banks and setting a trap out in front of it. So what he was doing, and it was sort of a system, what he had, it just didn't have that many stacking principles on it. He would shove the piece of PVC in so it's perpendicular to the water, or, you know, where it's not straight up and down, but it's going straight in the bank, and he sets a trap in front of it. And if I remember right, he was a big component of slide wires. And then he would take the coon out, and he would drown those. So with the pipe, you can do exactly what he was doing. What this gives you an option of, if you've got a shallow bank, is you can put the portable pocket out in the water where it looks like, you know, where it looks the same as it does if you had a bank there, but you're making the coon come off a sandbar or shallow water, something like that, to walk out in 6-10 inches of water to get to your bait, and your trap setting on the bottom of the creek. And so when he's trying to get the bait out, it gets caught. That's kind of a simplistic way of using this thing. It's a deadly thing. I mean, it really is. If you're in an area that's got a lot of animals, you'll be amazed what you catch just by doing that. And you can paint them white. I haven't done that yet. I don't think it would be a bad thing. But you could paint some of them white. I'm using in the water a lot of Unfair Advantage glows in the dark. You might could try some of the I've never used it, but someone mentioned about using, I think Rust-Oleum makes a paint that is glow in the dark. Now, how long it lasts after the sun goes down, I don't know, or what's going to happen the first time you catch a coon. But you can at least start off that way, and it'll be a good warm fuzzy feeling knowing you got a flashlight out there. That's the reason I like the unfair advantage. It really grabs everything's attention. So the most simplistic way to use this is find a sandbar with coon tracks, run, you know, and one thing I've noticed about these is you really need, if you're going to start using this system, you need to start putting about 3.5-4 foot of chain on your traps, unless you're going to drown with them, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But if you're going to do the down and dirty, get it done right now, and you can literally set these things in the water so fast, you'll be wondering if you set the trap or not. You set the trap, run the stake down through your end swivel, and you're going to push that to where it's just 2 or 3 inches above water level, pack it with some bait and lure, put some unfair advantage on the top, maybe, you know, shove a couple of feathers in there, whatever you're going to do, half a muskrat, didn't make any difference, and then you're going to set the trap out in front of it. Now, for me, my background, being an O'Gormanite starting off, I don't like stuff really close to my tractor, so I'm still going in the, you know, 9-10 inches back, and I like 6 inches of water. Part of that reason, guys, that I do my traps that way in the water for coon, where I live in the mountains, our water is crystal clear. It's just like you went to a swimming pool and looked into a really clean pool. And if you've got a trap that's really close to when I was having trouble, you put a pocket and you put a trap there in front of it, it doesn't match the bottom of the creek. The coon does see that underwater because our water is so clear. And I go to other places, it doesn't seem to matter. But I just got in the habit of pulling that trap back. So I'm going to have my trap back probably 9 or 10 inches right in front of that thing. And then it'll be in about 6 inches of water because that's just the way I've always done it. So that's a very simplistic way to use this thing. But think about the way your stacking functions of a portable pocket. The portable pocket is now your stake. If you give it that extra chain, the animal has very little leverage on the, even in soft ground, especially like a raccoon or something, has very little leverage on that stake because he's 3 foot away pulling on it. So he's pulling straight from the side. He's not pulling up on it. If you try to run 8 or 10 inch chain, you may have some issues. And that's the reason I just add an extra swivel, put a little piece of chain, another swivel, and that's what I'm running down to. The portable pocket, it's the stake at the same time. So that's a function this thing's given me. The other function is it's sticking above water, so it's visual, especially when I put unfair advantage on there, or I've got this, you know, part of a turkey feather shoved up there with the bait or something like that. So it's visual. It stands out in the environment. That's another function that can stack on this thing. It holds the bait inside. So the animal, unless he's got a grinder or something with him, he's got to get that stuff out of the front. There's no way for him to dig it out from the side or the top or anything else. He's literally going to have to get in front of that thing. So it's a bait holder, and it really guides the animal. So that's another function on this system. The other thing about this, you put in a pocket, and you put a PVC pipe that's perpendicular or straight up in the water on an angle, like I've done that a lot in the past. Or you do like Matt Jones does, where he smears the bait all over a stick, where you take a chainsaw and you cut grooves in it. I've used that too. That definitely works. Or you put a fish on a stick or something like that. You can, no matter how much it rains, or if the current's coming sideways, when the water goes back down, you're still in business. If it rains, your bait is completely protected. And you're not having the mold issues like you have so much when you use fish in a bank. It doesn't start getting that real that musty smell that mink don't seem to really like, because you're not dealing with all the bacteria that's in the mud. So it's a stake, it's eye peel, it's the bait holder, and it's everything in one integrated unit. So if you can just imagine, you step out of the truck, you go down over the bank, and that you've got a creek there, and it's got a little sandbar, and you can see where the coon are going right along the edge of it. We just step out in the water, set your trap on your knee, run your stake down through the swivel, push that in the mud, set the trap in front of it, pack it full, and like a minute, you're out of there. And you've got a very deadly, deadly set going on really, really quick. Because it has all of that stuff going on with it. I'm not having to get a shovel and dig a hole. I'm not having to slick up the hole. I'm not having to wrap stuff in grass or put it on a stick to keep it off of the mud. I don't have to do any of that. It's just, you know, I'm not wasting any time. And that's where this thing becomes, it's such a amazing thing when you start using it. So that's the simplest way to use this thing. And if you got a kid, I promise you, within a 3-minute block of instruction, he can go out and catch a coon, even if he can't physically set a dog-proof trap yet. If there's a mud puddle, he can set this in it. I mean, it's just kind of like the dog-proof trap. You can take somebody with a dog-proof trap that knows very little about coon, very little about trapping, very little about what's going on, and eventually he'll get it close enough to a coon to catch one. Well, this is kind of the same way. I mean, it's kind of the McDonald's series. You get it so simple a monkey can do it, and it's really hard to mess it up. And that's kind of the way a dog-proof trap is. And that's this same thing on this system. So if you're going to catch a coon with it, that's very easy. Now, if you've got coon trails, because, like I said, when you get into the system part of trapping, and you can now use it in water, or you can use it on dry land. Let's say you got a high bank trail and you got coon down by the water. Well, if you grab four of these things, four traps, and you've got your bait on you somewhere, you can set two in the water, pack it full of bait, walk up on the high bank trail, set those. Instead of sitting there and treating a coon like a fox and digging out a trap bed, and packing that thing in there with loose dirt and putting a pan cover on there and sifting over and all that. Screw that, guys. We're talking coon trapping needs to be down, dirty, ugly, and fast. That's the way you make money coon trapping. So if you're going to set the thing up on the dry bank, you put the end of your trap down through the swivel. You stick it where you think the coon's going to be. If it's hard, you take a hammer and you beat you out a trap bed, an indent in the ground. If it's soft, just use the heel of your boot or your fist if it's soft enough. And if you've got any type of mud, you push that down in there so it's stable, and then you just grab leaves and kick it over it. Or some grass clippings, if you're around somewhere that doesn't have a lot of leaves, you can carry grass clippings with you. They don't weigh anything. Put that over there. Now, what have you just done by doing that? You got one thing that catches coon in water and catches coon on dry land. You've got the same system going in the water, you've got the same system on dry land. You've got the same equipment, same bait. Everything about it's the same, the only difference is the water. But you're not going down there with dog proofs and footholds and snares and conibears and everything else, and you kind of wander around looking, well, I could make a set here, or I could do this kind of flat set over here, or I could go, you know, smear something on that stump over there. It's just like the kill pole. If there's a trail there and an animal's going down it, catch them. Don't go out of your way to do it. Don't walk up and down the bank trying to figure it out. If you see coon tracks and it's a travel way, you can slam it in water or land. The system part of that is pretty neat. Now, where this really started to shine with me, and I kind of knew that even when LT gave me that, I could see it in my mind. I was just getting really heavy into the dog proofs. You know, they're lighter, and I was thinking, okay, I can kind of see that. But you know, I'm kind of invested in these other ones. And most of you out there, if you ever run a long coon line, unless you've got, you know, 150 or 200 dog proofs, you're going to run out of traps before you run out of locations, but you probably got foothold traps. So with these portable pockets, it gives you a way to extend it until, if you want to be a full dog-proof trap type of guy, until you build up that inventory, because traps are expensive. You know, you get 10 dozen traps, even at the new price of the Freedom Brand FB2s. If you got 10 dozen of them, that's $1,300, somewhere around in there, just to get those traps. If you got 5 dozen, but you got enough locations for 10, you can use your coyote traps, your coon traps, whatever you want to do. And you can go to work on them. But that's using that systematic thing. Now, where this really became, where I really started getting excited, you know, like trapping like the kid, like we've talked about, is when I started playing around it with beaver. Because, you know, I've trapped a lot of beaver over my life. And, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, I've done mostly dry land trapping because of predator control. I'm in a position now, because of the lure business and different stuff like that, that I'm reverting back to, I want to trap what I want to trap. And I'm not necessarily at the stage anymore where I've got to choose strictly on the thing of dollars, like I used to do. So, you know, if I start getting burnt out on catching coyotes and cats, and I want to go catch otter and beaver, I can go do that, and it kind of refreshes me. So this year, I spent a lot of time in the water on otter and beaver, and I've got these pockets, and I'm sitting there, and I go, well, I wonder if we can catch a beaver in them. So I go out, and I was on a pond that I thought would have 4 or 5 beaver in it, and because there was an old dam, it wasn't really being patched up that well. I thought it might have been an old pair, maybe 1 or 2 young ones running around, something like that. Well, I set one of these portable pockets close to that dam. And in the system I was using and this was right next to a running trail. I mean, right next to it. Not like a public running trail, like a public park, but people would use this trail I was on, and they would go walking and stuff like that. So I didn't want to have a live beaver ringing out on them. So I was using my carbon slide rods, and you can see this on Wolfer Nation YouTube and WolferNation.com. You'll see me doing that. I'm going to have a lot more videos when I get back to Texas, because I've shot videos of it, and you'll also see these on Trapping TV. So you'll be able to see this, and I'm working on, because I'm so excited about how deadly this system is actually a DVD on everything I've learned on this, so you can hit the ground running if you're interested in these things. So I go out with this, and the first time I put the portable pocket in, I treated it like a coon. I did not think about a beaver the way a beaver is. So I'm sitting there, and I've got my slide rod, and I was either using a CDR, I think it was a CDR on that first set, because I'm using that CDRs and TS85s mostly now. So I shove the slide pole down in the mucky part of the bottom. I get it about lined up right. I set my trap. I hook all that up, and I run the portable pocket. So my portable pocket is also my bait holder, and it's the stake. And it's visual. But it's not so much visible to a person the way it is to a beaver. And I explain that to you. The portable pocket looks like on the side of a bank, where this walking trail was, people were walking within 10 feet of it. But I could just pull up some brush behind it, and from the back, it wasn't like there was a castor mound sitting there. It wasn't slicked up. It wasn't anything. From the back side of the set where people were at, it just looked like something was kind of built up. You know, it looks like some brush has been collected right there. That's all it was. So, but from the front, you've got a gaping hole looking at you, and I've got unfair advantage on the top, and that stuff will glow for about 9 or 10 hours at night. The sun charges it, you just smear a little bit on the top.
So from a beaver, even across the pond, he'll see that unfair advantage, and they're very curious by nature. And when they get closer, it just gets a little bit stronger and stronger. Now, inside the pipe, I smeared some Delta Red. Now, I'm also in an area that's got some otter. So I was putting otter call in some, and I was shooting some of a crawfish oil in about the other half of them. So they were getting otter smell and a beaver smell. And I put it just like I would a coon. I put the trap right out in front of it. And I started getting snap traps. And I was getting frustrated because I could tell it was beaver. But over a couple of days with these snap traps, the vegetation behind, around the portable pocket was gone. I mean, gone. And I think I show that in one of the videos I did. I mean, I show what it will look like and what it is. I mean, it looked like you put a bunch of goats in there about half starved to death and tied them on a little bitty string. I mean, it was destroyed. But I'm getting these snap traps, and I was like going, what in the world? And then I would notice, because I was putting that pipe so close to the water level, that about every other time, the pipe was literally half submerged in the water when we were losing water because we weren't getting rain. So the water's actually dropping, and the portable pot is getting in the water. So I'm looking at this torn up vegetation, I'm looking at this pipe that looks like someone goes over and stomps on, and I've got a snap trap. So what in the world is going on with this thing? So I kind of go through. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, so I you know, after 3 or 4 days of getting snap traps, I sit back and I Jethro it a little bit, and I go, obviously the beaver are coming from the sides of this thing and not straight onto it. And that's kind of what, because the first little trails I saw, they were coming from the sides on an angle. And somewhere in all this thrashing going on, they'd snap that trap off. So they weren't getting caught coming strictly up to the pipe. Not the way that I thought that they would get, like a raccoon, like they would just wander up straight to the front and go, you know, what's in here? They weren't doing that. What they were doing is they were coming up from the side. They could smell the Delta Red in that pipe. And that's a very aggressive beaver lure. And if you've ever watched Teachers of the Night, what a beaver does to another beaver caster is he goes up to it and he kind of does a belly flop on there and he just kind of rolls it around and gets rid of it. He just smushes it in the ground, you know, and he spreads that odor out and stuff like that. And I think it's a way to, you know, show somebody else in the territory that this is mine, you need to get out of here. Well, they couldn't do that with a portable pocket because it's metal. And they would try over and over and over and over again till they would literally push that pocket another 2 or 3 inches down in the ground. And by having an opening on the back of it, they could smell it from the front and the back. And I could not figure out what they were doing. So I kind of readjusted what I was doing, and I started putting the portable pocket on an angle instead of being straight out. And then I would pull up brush and some little bit heavier blocking, not really big blocking, but I mean just on water level, just 5 or 6 inches tall, and I would give them a cove kind of look. So if you're thinking of the way a beaver slide kind of goes into a bank, I would have this off to the side of it, and I would allow them to still use the slide. But I'm just making this on a flat piece of bank. I didn't really smear anything up or dig anything out. I just kind of pull some stuff off to the side. And then I have the blocking behind it again, even though they're destroying it every single night, just to hide it from people. Not that I really think that a runner or another trapper would realize that that's a trap set, because there's nothing beaverish about it. I came back, caught a beaver. 3 or 4 days in a row, I caught a beaver off that set, and it kind of went dead for a couple of days. And I never, even though we got a lot of rain during that time period, I never had to re-lure the portable pocket. So what that does, that gives me another stackable feature of the portable pocket. I have to use less lure, and I shouldn't say that as a lure maker, because I really want you to buy more lure. That's my business. But inside that portable pocket, that one dosage of beaver lure ended up catching 8 beaver. And when I pulled it, the lure was still good inside of the pipe. Now let that sink in on what that will do on your bottom line over a long period of time. Because you make a caster mount and he thrashes it all up, you got to remake it and re-lure it and yada, yada, yada. You don't have that thing. All of the rain that we had that's a problem with beaver lure on beaver sets is gone with a portable pocket. Because it's got a roof over it. If the water starts coming up, it's really simple for me just to pull my slide, pull up the portable pocket, move my slide rod back a little bit, shove it back in the ground, re-block it in, and I'm good to go. If the water starts going down, I move it forward. And I had to do this several times because of our water level changes. Simple. It was another stacking feature that I didn't realize when I started playing with those. Now, if I was just using a chain like I've done to catch beaver, what I don't have to worry about people seeing them, it's even quicker. You just pull it out of the ground, move it up 8 to 10 inches, reset the trap in front of it, do a little bit of bedding, and you're on down the trail. So when you take the slide rod out, it even gets even simpler. But the beaver, what they are doing is they're coming in from the side, and they're just, I mean, belly rolling this thing to death is what they're doing. And finally, they get so frustrated, they leave. And from the sign on the bank, they leave and come back, and they leave and come back, and they leave and come back. Because no matter what they do, that Delta Red's still getting in the middle finger. And there's nothing they can do about it. Well, by letting them go to the side of that thing and giving them an obvious, easy way to go back in the water, I started picking them up. And then, like I said, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but once I realized that, then I started adjusting all my other stuff. Holy cow, is that a beaver killer? Now, let's fast forward this on the beaver a little bit. Because Norm came over here, and he's using conibears with them. And I haven't really done that up to this point that much. I've done it a little bit, and I've caught a few beaver, and this, that, and the other. Well, I make a dumb bet with him on camera that if he caught the beaver and I didn't owe him $20, I lost that bet. All he did, basically, was kind of make kind of a mock slide, put a 330 in front of it, halfway block off just where the sides of the trap is at, and put it, and he's using the portable pocket as the stake for his 330. So you know that's a function of this system. He put the lure in there. If I remember right, he shot some crawfish oil in it. I don't think he used unfair advantage. And the next day, when me and him and Will, the camera guy, went over there, he had about a 45-50 pound beaver. And you could see plain as day what happened at that set. That beaver did not come straight onto that set. And you need to get a grasp on this if you're going to use these for beaver or otter. They come up from the sides and they play around with it and then they go back in the water. What he had done is the beaver gets up there and starts belly flopping all over this pipe. And then he runs, then he's going to go back in the water. Well, the easiest way for him to go in the water is directly ahead of him, and it's straight into that 330. Now, you tell me a faster way to catch beaver with a 330, because you got to tie it off or wire it off or stake it. So you're going to have something there with you. So if you take 3 or 4 foot of extension cable, or better yet, in my opinion, some smaller chain, put a swivel on it, where you're going to put your conibear, run your swivel up on the stake of the portable pocket, push the portable pocket in the ground, smear some lure in there, set a conibear in it, but you don't have to block off all the sides like trying to force them to come up through the conibear. And it's just beaver after beaver after beaver. I mean, the portable pocket has made beaver trapping, once you get the hang of it, and you understand what's going on, like dog-proof trapping raccoons. It is really that simple. So if you want to catch beaver, you're going to have a hard time getting it. Now, catching otter, they don't come up to the front of it the way that I thought they would, like a coon either. They kind of act more like a beaver. Now, on those, I'm taking a piece of shop towel or a pillow fill or something like that, and I'm shoving it up in there, and I'm putting Otter Call Unfair Advantage on top and some crawfish oil in there, and that just kind of slicks everything up, and otters seem to really like it. But you can see in the tracks, because I'm using a lot of those are on slide rods too, they'll come up from the side, they'll piddle around it, and then they will go down. And where you give them the easiest place to step down in the water is where you got your trap. And then you're picking up beaver and otter at the same set. I mean, that's just cool. And because of, if you use something that glows in the dark like that, otter are just like mixing a kitten and a monkey. I mean, they've got to go see what's going on. And if you give them a puzzle, just like a raccoon, they're going to go and try to figure out what's going on with that. So now I'm catching beaver and I'm catching otter. Well, we give some of these to Jeff Dunlap down in Louisiana. I get a call from him. He's catching coon, he's catching beaver, and he's wearing red fox out with him and gray fox. Now think about the advantage of having something a gray fox is going to have a hard time getting to. Let me regress a second. Part of the reason that you want to have a hole on the back of the portable pocket, because I've seen that, I'm in the South, as you know, and dogs are everywhere. So you have these dogs, you got a beaver trap or an otter trap, the trap is in the water. If you force the dog to go around the front of that, he's going to be in that trap. By having that hole in the back, not big enough that they can get anything out of it with, but they can smell and pee and lick and bite and everything else, they don't have to get in the water. Dog's not going to want to get in the water to try to get to that. And from the tracks I'm seeing on the bank, that has saved me having to deal with a lot of stuff I didn't want to deal with. Because the dog comes up there, he can smell it, he can stick his tongue in it, he can bite on it, he can roll around, he can whatever. But most dogs do not want to get in the water just to get in the water, especially in the wintertime. So that's part of the reason you want to have that hole in the back. So let's jump back forward. Okay, Jeff's down and he's catching fox in these things, along with beaver and raccoons. And he's loving them. So we give some to Scott and Mike from Trapping TV, and they take them down. And they use them down in Alabama. They went back down there for some control work. Mike's fell in love with them for beaver. He's using the bag system for a slide wire, I guess, or cable. And he's using that for his upward stake. And once they kind of got the hang on that, I mean, he sounded like a kid when he called me on the phone. I mean, all over it. They caught bobcats in these things down there. I'm loading up today. I'm going to be on the road within 14 hours of me uploading this on my way to Texas. I believe this portable pocket will allow me to catch more cats or catch as many as in the area with less energy. Now, how am I going to do that? Well, think about a cat. You know where their travel patterns are. Anywhere that you can, that's got somewhat of a path going to it, even if you got to tear out some grass or rake it back or whatever. Just imagine on the side of a field. Everybody's seen a field and you got high grass on one edge of it. What if you took your mattock and you just raked out a slot about 7 inches wide, about 2 feet deep? Now, with a bobcat, I'm going to take my bobcat or coyote sized trap, and I'm going to have 4 foot of chain on it. I'm going to slide it down through the very end of that through the swivel. Now, on the portable pocket itself, I'm going to put it in the back of that little, and it could be an old rabbit trail. It doesn't make any difference. The beauty of these is use your brain and use less energy. So I'm going to stick it back in something, and then I'm going to take paper clips, and I'm going to take, if you've never seen me making fun of myself with my pimp feathers on, where I took a picture of them at Walmart, I use these things like you see in cat collector video. I get them at Walmart, different places, and they're very, very wide, and they move in the wind, and they're on like a string. Well, I'm going to wrap with paper clips, so I'm going to have a feather donut ring on this portable pocket, and I'm going to leave this sticking out of the ground probably about 8 or 9 inches, and the very bottom of that, I'm going to leave a teaser tail of 3 or 4 inches of this feather that moves in the wind, and I'm going to put my cat collector inside that portable pocket. And then I'm going to bed that trap and block it down. This may get me away from having to ever, let's say hallelujah together, dig another hole to catch a bobcat. Now, why is that important? One, I like manual labor when I'm playing in a garden. I do not like manual labor when I'm out trapping, Sam, I am. That is the truth. I want to have the easiest way to trap that I can, and this system is going to allow me to do that. Now all I've got to do, in some ground, we're going to have shorter ones and longer ones. If it's really hard ground, we don't need 30 inches, for goodness sake. And when you bring a cat or a coyote out on 4-foot chain, he doesn't have any leverage to pull anything. Now we can also use these, if we made shorter ones, just for the eye peel part of it, and the rain part of it, which to you land trappers, when we get into this in just a second, you better pay attention to what I'm telling you on this. We can still use drags. We could catch something on a drag and then catch something at the stake. So I can double up with this system a lot better than what I was doing before. So it allows me, I can still use 2 traps or 1 trap. I can make doubles with it with a drag, or catch doubles with it with a drag. And it's going to be highly visible. I'm still going to have my cat flags and everything just like normal, but I'm not having to dig holes. And guys, that's big. If you don't dig holes, you don't use as much energy, which means you go set more traps, which means you go catch more fur, which means you go make more money. And even if you're a purist that says you don't like the money, you'll appreciate it. So with this thing, I don't think I'm ever going to have to dig a hole again. I like that idea a lot. Well, what about a coyote? Well, Norm's been using them on coyotes, and he's making kind of like a cache set, or some will say a cache set. And he's putting this pipe where it's almost completely on the ground, and he's just pulling some duff up around it. So all it is basically to a coyote is a vertical dirt hole. But why is this system so important to a land trapper? Does anybody out there trap when it rains? Has it ever rained on you in trapping season? Have you ever had dirt holes fill up with water? Have you ever had lure washed away? You're not going to in portable pockets unless you need a John boat to go check them. Because it don't matter how much it rains. Everything's hunky-dory in that pipe. It's protected just like you are in your house. So whether it's for coyotes or it's for cats, I've got something now that's complete, a system that when most guys are redoing their stuff and remaking sets, I can just look at them and drive on by if I don't have anything. And if you've never really got to run big coyote lines through a long period of time, the biggest catches on coyotes I've ever made have always been on the back end of massive storms. Everybody talks about the weather changing before, and you do get movement. But the biggest ones, if you can keep your equipment working, when you get those nasty, nasty storms where the temperature drops and it rains like 3 inches and nothing wants to move, and everything is wet and cold and everything, and the animals are sitting in a hole somewhere or under a tree being miserable, and when that breaks, especially adult coyotes, they go hunting. The reason most people never get to see that is their equipment is out of business. But if your equipment's not out of business because you're not doing what is very rough on you as a trapper, is putting dirt holes in after a 3-inch rain, you can still be going. No one says you got to use dirt over a trap. You can use peat moss and grass and leaves. Well, what's going to make mud in that? Nothing. Nothing. You can still bed them. You can still antifreeze them. Now, if you got a trap, there's no dirt to make mud, and you don't make a mud puddle over it by making an indention so it's a low spot, and you got it level, and you got a pipe that's not in the ground, and unless the rain goes completely vertical, the lure's still inside the pipe. Your trap is still working. So when these coyotes come out and they're going to do their big hunt, you've got something waiting for them. But most people never get to experience that because they're just out of business. Another thing I like about these, for coyotes especially, if you can follow what I'm saying, let's say you've got, I'm going to be shooting some video of this while I'm down in Texas, but you've got a trail or something, an old rut or something that's close to a road that kind of goes off away from the road, then comes back on the road. And I want you to mentally visualize what I'm getting ready to say, because this will gain you a lot of animals if you'll put this to use. If you were to move a portable pocket 4 or 5 feet up inside that trail, blind set the trail going in and blind set the trail on the other side, all of a sudden now you start catching doubles off one set. You put your traps 3, 4, 5 feet away from it, the animals aren't acting goofy at that point till they get up close enough to it. And if with a coyote especially, the way they run back and forth till they get the nerve up to get close enough to your lure, they're going to be over those traps over and over and over again, and this law of averages says they're going to be waiting on you. But with a portable pocket, I can keep those things working longer and longer and longer. I can still back set a portable pocket because it still has a big enough hole where odor can come out of it. So I can literally have two traps on one pocket. The back one would probably be a drag. The front one would be hooked to the portable pocket itself. So if I catch the big adult first, he's going to be off away making noise and making smells for me. And then as another one comes up and he tries to work the front, which is normally the pup, he's going to be sitting there ringing around that portable pocket. Now you may be asking yourself, why don't you use PVC? Great question. And if you're in an area that if you're just water trapping and you're always going to be using drowners, then you can get away with PVC as long as you can always push it in the ground. But if you use PVC and you make one miss of a hammer, you're going to break it. That's the reason the metal pipe to me is a lot better deal. The other reason is if you chain something to it like a coyote, you can imagine what he's going to do to that piece of PVC. After 3 or 4 coyotes, I doubt there's going to be anything there. Now you just got a rod. But that's the system. And I've been learning a lot more. We've been playing with ways to use them on cage traps and everything else. It's just a cool deal. If, LT come up with that, that was ingenious. I just don't think at that time in trapping history, that was the right time to really bring it mainstream. But I do think now, with the way that you can show stuff online and everything, I think people are going to really get a kick out of it. Because it is such a deadly, deadly system. And I'm going to go finish packing for Texas. So I will try to talk to y'all next weekend or next week. And by the way, the shows will be on Saturday while I'm in Texas instead of Friday, because that's just the way our schedule is going to be. That's the only way it's going to go. So guess what, guys? Go trapping! Let's get it on. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
head.